Today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Sometimes a dad won't leave his family, even if he's already gone.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. So go ahead, write them in, call them in whenever you want. Yeah, I get this. Sometimes a dad won't leave his family, even if he's there. I'm going to stalk the shit out of my family when I'm dead. It's going to be great. They're going to be like, that's fucking Tony again.
I think I would too.
Why not?
I'd be like, there's Aunt Carol again.
Just going to move shit around and just have a good old time. And I'll help them. I'll be there for good. I'll be there to, like, you know, help in any way I can as a ghost and whatever I'm able to do. But
let's be real. You would just give your daughter so much shit.
I'm going to fuck with people too. So it's like, well, he fucks with us all the time, but he also prevented that semi from, you know, crashing into us the other day too. So
there's that.
It's kind of a trade off with dad. Like, yeah, kind of is. He also found the lost cat, brought it back.
So yeah, he does some good.
The cat's traumatized because he, like, literally made it float through the air above the trees and then put it back in the backyard. You know, I could have just kind of, like, shooed it in so it walked, but now it's, like, scared of going outside and looking at the sky. But, you know, good intent.
Other than that, he's good.
He's good, you know? There was that incident at the wedding for the granddaughter that, you know, Tony didn't like the boyfriend and didn't like the fiance, so he kind of set the hall on fire.
That was a bit dramatic.
That was a bit much. But, and then the
Especially when fire started in the altar.
And then the guy's car spontaneously combusted as well. And then the guy, spontaneously combusted as well. It was like he just started smoking and went up in flames. You know? But I guess, you know, dad thought, you know, he wasn't good for his granddaughter. So he just did what he had to do.
That makes me laugh.
The shit I'm going to do. When people spontaneously combust, if they're like an abusive asshole or something to someone in my family, fuck yeah, I'll burn your house down. Be a very vigilante ghost for my family. It's like, guess what? Nobody's going to get fucked with ever again because I can see everything and I will destroy the bad people.
You just got to do the right thing.
So there you go, family. When you're listening back to this years later and I've been gone for a long time, you're like, what the fuck is going on with our family? Hi.
It's like a Taylor Swift song. Hi, it's me.
Hi, it's me. I love y'all. I'm doing what's best for you. Trust me, I know what's best on the other side, okay? There he is again, thinking he knows what's best, because I fucking do, and I'm a ghost, goddammit. So, take that. Enjoy. All right, let's go to a phone call at 855-853-4802. And just listen to some of these stories, family, that I'm a ghost to now, and be happy I'm not doing that sort of shit, okay? I'm there for the good. There for the good, even if a cat gets freaked out every now and then. Let's listen to the phone call and hear the ghost story. Hi.
It's Autumn again. I'm the kid from Toronto. I've been dating this guy for a couple months and things are going really well between us. And one of the first things he told me is that his father passed away when he was about 13. The good thing about it, though, is that he had a wonderful relationship with him and that his father was very present in his life and that they were always doing stuff together. They both did scouts. They both would go fishing. The unfortunate thing about his dad is his dad passed away so sudden and without warning. He had an operation and was supposed to stay in the hospital to heal, but he wanted to be home for his wife's birthday. and he came home against the hospital's wishes, and the stitches came undone, and he wound up having some kind of internal poisoning, and he had passed away by the next evening. It was very unexpected, very shocking, and still hurts my boyfriend Matthew to this day. Matthew and his mother still live in the house that they lived in when Wayne was still alive, and I never really felt anything until recently. Sometimes I stay over at his house and we sleep upstairs in his room, and one night I woke up and saw this person standing by the bed, and I thought it was Matthew because it was him standing there. And then I glanced over and saw Matthew was sleeping next to me. I thought maybe it's a psychic projection of Matthew, and then I looked back and I noticed that this man was much thinner, a little bit taller, and had a different demeanor about him. He wasn't threatening. He was just kind of standing there looking at me, and I was so scared, I just laid back down and went back to sleep. So I made the mistake of telling Matt about it, and it kind of bothered him a little bit. I mean, he believes in the supernatural and he believes in ghosts and that sort of thing, but he likes the thought of his father kind of remaining as he remembers him. He doesn't like the thought of him being around, per se. It kind of bothers him a little bit. So a couple weeks later, it's Matthew's birthday, and it's a milestone. It's his 21st. So I'm over at his house, and he says, hey, let's go for a drive. So we decided to go for a drive, and he doesn't tell me that he's taking me to the cemetery. Now, this is something that's very, very important to him, and it's an absolute honor for me when I realize where we're going. So we stop there, and we get out of the car, and we go over, and we stand by the stone, and it was very heartbreaking for me because Matt's a fun-loving, happy guy, and he crumbles. So he's standing there just kind of staring, and all of a sudden I start getting these things happening in my head. So I just kind of, step back and take a minute, and I just pretend, oh, I'm a little emotional, this is a big deal. So a couple minutes go by, and then he just kind of says, yeah, I'm going to go get some air, walks back to the car. So I kneel down to the stone, and this is something that I have always done with my loved ones that have passed on. I do speak to their graves. I know it's very strange, but it brings me a sense of comfort. So I knelt down and I said, okay, I got the message. I understand. I will pass it on, but don't show up anymore because you really scared me. Like, it really freaks me out, Wayne. Like, don't do that again. Your son's wonderful. He's a great guy. He did a really good job. Please keep an eye out for him. And I hope wherever you are, it's nice and that you're no longer in any pain and that you're happy. The next day was Matthew's actual birthday, and nothing happened. We did not experience anything strange until the evening. So technically it was the day after his birthday when this happened, because it was about 2 or 3 in the morning. But I woke up again, and I sat right up in bed. I don't know why, but I sat right up, and I turned, and there was this man again. I'm pretty sure it was Wayne. There's no one else it could have been. And I could hear him mumbling something, and at first I thought it was Matthew talking in his sleep, and I turned over and Matthew was not talking. So I look back at this figure, and it starts off by saying, hey, I'm really sorry I scared you, and then keeps talking. I was so scared by the thought of it saying, I'm so sorry I scared you, because that solidified my fear that this had actually happened, that I just laid back down and was just like, oh my God, it's not real, it's not real, it's going to go away. Look back, it's still there, he's still there. So I just kind of went quiet, and I said, okay, just go back to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I felt so guilty. I don't know why, when I encounter these things, that they scare me so much, especially when I know they don't mean me any harm. Whatever Wayne is trying to tell me, it's for his son, and it freaks me out so very much that I don't know what to say or where to turn. I can't talk to Matt about it because it freaks him out, even though he won't admit it. I can tell he goes really quiet and then says he would not like to talk about it. So I decided to go to his mother. His mother is, she's a half Cherokee. Her mother's full blood Cherokee. They're originally from Kentucky. I myself am half Mohawk, and my mother is full Mohawk. So we're both Native Americans. And one of the things that we have been told since we were children, both of us, was that we would experience things because we are more open to that kind of thing because our people believe in that sort of thing. And we know that it is as normal as living and breathing, excuse the pun. So I went to her and I said, hey, last night I think I saw Wayne in Matthew's room. I expected her to cry or get offended or something like that, but she turned to me and she said, you know, that's really strange because I had something happen. She went and got her phone. She had gone to bed at 10. She had not been using it. And she shows it to me. And there's this blurry picture, but it's like a man. You can't tell who it is. It looks like Matthew, but again, he's taller. And he's just bathed in light. And it looks like someone was trying to take a picture and they dropped the phone or something. She says to me, I went to bed at 10. And this picture is timestamped at 11 o'clock p.m. She said, I did not take this picture, but she said, I know who this is. We both confirmed that it was definitely Wayne sticking around. So I told her everything that had happened to me, and we both kind of had a good cry about it. And I said, the thing is, it scares Matthew, and I'm not really sure what to do about it. So I had to have a talk with Matt, and I said, hey, I need you to talk to your dad for me. I need you to tell him that he's scaring me and that if he has any messages, he has to talk to you directly. And the best way to do that, if he will not do it in person, is to do it in your sleep, in your dreams, because that's how a lot of my relatives communicated. I'm not sure if Matt thinks I'm crazy or whatnot, but I do think he kind of believes me. So he said he did have a talk with his father. So when I did stay over last night, I did not see or experience anything. I think a lot of the reason that his father is still there, not just because he loves his son and wife so very much, but because the corner where he would appear, Matthew has a lot of items that used to belong to him, including a hat, a pair of gloves, and a whole bunch of other things that used to belong to Wayne. So in terms of ghosts still being attached to items or having an aura, an energy, and I am just very thankful that Wayne chose to show himself and speak to me. Thanks so much for listening to my story. Thank you, and have a good day or night whenever you're listening to this.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on that?
I do think that if I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw a man standing by my bed, that would scare the shit out of me too. So I don't think she should feel, because she was feeling kind of weird, like, you know, she doesn't want to be scared of it, but she's scared of it. I would be too. You're not expecting to see that in the middle of the night.
No.
You know, and if it's his dad trying to relay a message in the middle of the night, when his poor girlfriend wakes up and sees a man standing there, that would be horrifying.
It is.
My pets just chased each other out of the room. But it would be horrifying to me.
No, I completely agree. I think that, yeah.
But I do think there's something to what she's, I do think it's probably the dad. And, you know, the fact that that happened to her and then the mom got that weird picture on her phone after she was in bed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she plugged her phone in and put it on the nightstand. That's what you do. And then you go to sleep. And to have a picture on there while you've been asleep, that's weird.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me think that the dad is trying to get through to him.
I think he is. I think he's there and he's making his messages as known as he can.
Yeah.
We got to perfect that on the other side so people can understand what the hell we're doing.
I would imagine you've got to come through when you can.
Got to figure that out. Got to figure that shit out. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that, check it out on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. We got it all there for you so you can start binging away right now with no ads. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.